This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
She packed my bags last night, pre-flight. 0 hour, 9 a.m. And I'm gonna be high as a kite by then. I miss the earth so much. I miss my wife. It's lonely out in space on such a timeless flight.
Place to Be Nation, welcome to the Pop Feed and this special edition of Pop Goes to the Movies. I am Scott Criscolo. You've heard me all over both our Place to Be Nation Pop Feeds and Place to Be Nation Wrestling Feeds. Here on the Pop Feed, I am the co-host of the Year in Pop with Andy Atherton. You've also heard me on Freak Out Drive-In. You've heard me on Laugh in Theater and et cetera, et cetera. And tonight we are going to the movies with our newest installment where we will review and I guess have opinions on one of the hot movies that is out in cinemas right now. And before I go any further, let me bring in my cohort this evening. I have done many a show with him, both on the wrestling and pop feeds, Mr. J. Arsenio D'Amato. John, good evening. How's it going?
Good evening, Mr. Criscolo. I am John Hercules D'Amato. I'm a sex addict. I'm a creep. I'm a misogynist. I'm a wrestling addict. I'm a thousand other things. But, nice to join you.
You have
for those that haven't seen the movie, they're going to be like, what the hell is he talking about? But then again, maybe not, because all that is true. So.
And you do have that orange devil suit, don't you?
Well, I pull off the horns. When I get mad, I pull off one horn.
Exactly.
Watching the Mets bullpen in the eighth and ninth inning, you pull one horn.
Oh, my God. That's it. Okay. I wish I could hide as Queen Elizabeth. Anyway, the movie, of course, that Mr. D'Amato is speaking of. A lot of great movies have come out so far this summer, and you've heard plenty of reviews on here at Pop Goes to the Movies. But we are, of course, talking about the biopic of one of Mr. D'Amato's and my favorite artists, Mr. Elton Hercules John. Of course, the movie we are talking about is Rocket Man, which came out, I guess, you saw it last weekend when it opened. I just saw it 2 hours ago, so I have it fresh in my mind. As everyone knows here on the Pop Feed, both in the Year in Pop and some of our other shows, John and I are huge music junkies. You could say that we're not to brag, but I think you and I are comfortable experts. I think we're pretty good. We're pretty versed in many genres. We've both seen Elton John a few times. I think you've seen him more than me. I've seen him. I saw him once one of the face to faces with Billy Joel, and I saw him twice by himself. Once at the Garden, Madison Square Garden, and once in your backyard, the old new Nassau Coliseum. How many times have you seen him?
About five, I think five. Okay. Now. I caught the two on his last finale tour. He is doing one last at the Nassau Coliseum in November. So I'm mulling it just because you know, these guys, you never know, you know, especially on that last one, I try to get them in as much as possible.
I may want to join you on that. We'll have to talk about that. I think yeah. I may
I'll table that, sure.
Yeah, absolutely. So anyway, this is, of course, right now, music is big right now in terms of biopics and movie themes. Of course, the big one that came out back in November, which is sitting on my shelf right now here in Studio B, and that is, of course, Bohemian Rhapsody, which I absolutely loved. Then I saw two trailers tonight pertaining also to music. One of them is a movie called Yesterday.
Which is
kind of an unusual movie. I'm not sure if I'm into it or not. I have to see it. Apparently, it's about a guy who gets hit in the head, or gets hit by a car. He's a musician, struggling.
I think it's like an earthquake or something.
Yeah, and the power goes out all over the world. And when he wakes up, he's literally the only person who's ever heard of the Beatles, which is kind of an odd thing. And apparently he takes all their songs and becomes a star and et cetera, et cetera. Then there's another trailer I saw, John. I don't know if you saw it when you went to Rocket Man.
Blinded by the Light?
Yeah, Blinded by the Light. Another British movie with Indian actors. I don't think it's a Bollywood movie per se. About a kid who's kind of, you know, an Indian kid from India who's in a kind of one of those old school, very kind of similar to Freddie Mercury, a very old fashioned family, and he gets turned on by the music and the lyrics of Bruce Springsteen. So that was seemed very interesting. So right now I feel like music is a big drawing point for movies now. Now with like the Marvel Cinematic Universe kind of concluded and Star Wars almost concluded in December with Episode 9, I feel like Hollywood is looking for a new genre to kind of latch onto.
Still trying to hang on to like that adult crowd that's not into the Marvel Star Wars per se. So there is still an adult, you know, older crowd that still goes into the theaters. So they're trying to catch that group. But I'm definitely all in on those two. They're both unique, and of course because you know the love of the music itself and the audience.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
I'm definitely going to check those two out. As a matter of fact, those are that and the Tarantino movie. That's probably only three for the. That's it for me for the summer.
Oh, I'm definitely seeing Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Oh, there's no doubt. Well, because we did the summer preview show here on the Pop.
Yeah, and that I was your sleeper.
The,
yeah,
that's
yeah,
my that's sleeper. Your... The second biggest money maker of the year. I might be reaching a bit because I saw a gigantic poster at the theater. Actually, the doctor joined me tonight for the movie. And we both saw the giant poster for Toy Story 4, and I know Andy keeps shoving that in my throat that that's the number two movie, but we'll see. Any event, Rocket Man, just to give everyone a little bit of a background, Rocket Man is not all of Elton's life. It kind of goes back and forth with him, and I guess he's in rehab or he's at like an AA meeting, and it goes back and forth between the AA meeting and his life. Way back in the early 50s when he's a kid, all the way up to probably the early 90s. Except they didn't do the blonde dye job. Remember the blonde dye job he had when he sang at Ryan White's funeral, when he was still coked up at the time. And they didn't go that far with the blonde dye job. Maybe Elton didn't want it. Because one of the big differences before we try to – I know we're going to – and it's human nature – that we'll be referring to Bohemian Rhapsody often tonight because that's the other huge music pick that came out. Obviously, the difference is Freddie Mercury's dead, and the Queen guys, Brian May, John Deacon, Roger Taylor, kind of executive produced. Whereas Elton did this on his, you know, Elton did his own movie in essence. So that's a little different. There's a dynamic there that Elton was kind of able to do what he wanted, and I don't know if there was any factual inaccuracies. It'd be hard to say, but in any event. It goes through his life and his, you know, making of his career, meeting Bernie Taupin and you know, him and his way to handle his homosexuality and his music career taking off and all the coke and the drinking and the pills and all the other stuff. And it ends probably in the mid-90s when he leaves rehab. Because it says he's been clean since at the end of the movie when they do like the fun facts, he's been clean for 28 years. So that means he's been clean since pretty much 1991, which makes about sense. So before we get to the pros and cons and break it down a little bit, John, what did you think of the way they did the story? Like, again, someone who doesn't know Elton's life would not know whether anything was wrong or anything was out of order. But you and I, obviously experts in Elton and his career and his life. What did you think of the way the story was told?
Well, they mixed in the uh, the musical fantasies, kind of like the operatic big piece stages, you know, with a song to show parts of his life. And to me, that was a hit or miss, those scenes. And I think that's what drags it down and to bring the rating down. And that's why people are ranking it below Bohemian Rhapsody. And from the looks of the box office, it's going to come in low. But it's still doing okay. But I think the mixture between them, I think they're a little too reliant on the musical fantasies. And I actually like the acting, and then the real scenes were very impressive. And I was wanting more of those. Mm-hmm. Because the actors, like here we go. Here's the first comparison to Bohemian Rhapsody. Bohemian Rhapsody was a Freddie, 100% all about like Freddie. And Rami Malek, he like overpowered like every other actor. There's really nobody else really shine. But in this movie, although Taron was very good, there was some amazing performances by the supporting cast. Like the guy Jamie Bell that played Bernard Taupin was amazing. I'm not an expert on these things, but you know, I would hope that he gets you know, some looks for best supporting actor. And also the guy that played Reed, his manager, was tremendous. The actors that played his parents, of course, Bryce Dallas Howard as his mom. So all those actors were incredible. Whereas in Bohemian Rhapsody, it was all just Rami Malek. That, like, especially like the Queen guys were just like nondescript, long-haired, you know, non-charismatic guys, which may have been Queen in real life. So, but that's what really that's why it drove it a little more, you know, over bull wrapped the performances of the other stars.
Mm. Yeah, let's talk about the actors for a minute. Again, Elton was played by Taron Egerton, and then, you know, they were child actors that played the very young Elton, and then kind of the preteen Elton that went to the Royal Academy of Music. Jamie Bell, who I'd never heard of, played Bernie Taupin, and he was very good, actually. He was exceptional. Richard Madden played John Reed, who was Elton's manager and a lover through most of the 70s. For those that obviously know Bryce Dallas Howard, she was, of course, in the last two Jurassic World movies. Look, at first I knew she was in it, but I couldn't tell where, because she looks nothing like she did in the movie. In she looked nothing like she did in the Jurassic World movies. But she was very good as Elton's mom. Here was my first discrepancy, though. I don't remember. At least I've watched Elton biopics, Elton bios, like Behind the Music, and there was a VH1 Legends. I don't remember him ever really bashing his mom. I know his dad was very distant from the family. He was in the Royal Air Force, and he was, you know, kind of like most British fathers in that era, kind of a cold-hearted douche, like all of them are. And I thought that he was very close with his mom, and it didn't really seem that way. So I don't know if that was something different, or I know he was close with his grandmother, and that was reflected in the film. I thought he was closer with his mom. That kind of shocked me, but I tell you something.
No, that's a good point. That's another thing that probably brings people's enjoyment of the movie down, because, man, it was to think that Elton is still alive, and you know, another Bohemian Rhapsody comparison. Freddie is dead, but Bohemian Rhapsody was more uplifting because, you know, according to this movie, Elton, you know, most icons have either daddy or mommy issues. Elton looks like he had both.
Mm.
And plus, just about everybody in his life was portrayed as a heel, as manager, except for Bernie. Bernie's like the angel, and his grandmother. But other than that, everybody else in his life was horrific. And he was the executive producer, so he signed off on that. So it's a little sad that he kind of you come out of it saying, damn, he kind of hates everybody except for Bernie.
Bernie and Renata. Yeah. Renata, his wife in the 80s. He did marry a woman once, for those that don't know anything about Elton's life. He did marry a woman, believe it or not, for 4 years. Yeah, that was odd. I didn't realize he had that issue with his mom. But having said that, that was fine. It was pretty much like every single person in his life was a fucking piece of shit except Bernie. That was kind of off-putting to me a little bit. But you know what? If it's true, then so be it. That's fine. Stephen Graham, our own Stephen Graham, played. No, he did not him.
Dick James.
Yeah,
tremendous.
Yeah.
For what little scenes he was in, he tore up every scene he was in, and he had some great quotes as the he was like, you know, the head music publisher, and they're trying to get Elton put on, and Bernie's like, oh, Elton over here has written a lot of nice songs, and he's like, okay, let me hear him before you start breaking your neck to suck your own cock.
Suck your own cock. That was a tremendous line. Oh my god, what a tremendous line.
And then it was great when he suggested, he's like, hey, you guys should be like married, and you guys should live together and get together, and don't come back here till you have 10 songs that old gray haired tramps are whistling in the streets.
That was a tremendous line. I know Stephen Graham. I know him when he played Al Capone on Boardwalk Empire on HBO.
Yes.
He was tremendous in that. British actor, but talked from Chicago, so that was kind of cool.
It's crazy. Yeah.
So. Some of the other actors, for those that I'm trying to look at the rest of the list, anybody that may stick up, Tate Donovan, who's been in a ton of things, he played Doug Weston, the guy who owned the troubadour.
Tremendous
in that. So all right, here's my let me give you my positives. First off, just like Almost Famous, which is my favorite, which right now is still my favorite music movie of all time. Elton is very singable. So here I am in the middle of the movie sitting there, the doctor sitting next to me. And here I am, singing, Tiny Dancer and the only two songs that shocked me were not on the soundtrack. Leave On, which is arguably one of his like five best songs. And Burn Down the Mission, which is also one of my favorites, which is not on there. Having said that, though, one of my buddies who's a diehard Elton fan will be happy to know that an album cut, Amarina, was actually in the movie for, 2 minutes, which is one of his favorite album cuts. So the music was tremendous. So I knew going in that regardless of how the movie was going to be laid out, I heard before I knew anything about seeing it, I think it was Eddie Trunk, Johnny, for those that don't know Eddie Trunk, big heavy metal guy. He's got a couple shows on a syndicated Sirius music show. He's got a show on Sirius, big metal guy. He's the one who first, broke the news, but had said in an article that it was actually more, it's not like Bohemian Rhapsody. It's a musical. And I went, really, a musical? It's kind of weird. Okay. I wasn't totally believing him, so I kind of rolled with it. But having a lot of the songs was very helpful in telling the story. So I had no problem with that.
But also some of the a couple of the songs, like the way, you know, with the fantasy and interpretations, and they kind of made the song kind of like operatic and a cappella, mm-hmm. which takes out Elton's strength, which is like that guitar. Like for the climax, like that, the I'm Still Standing, like that first part is kind of operatic, but it doesn't really work without that burn, you know, without Elton banging on that keyboard and the guitar solo. So it kind of takes away from Elton's music. Actually the music in Bull Rap was a little better because it stuck with, you know, the Queen formula and then didn't stray too much.
Yeah. No, it's true. He sang the songs. There were some cases where he sang the songs differently. And even G said to me, goes, it's hard for me to get into it when I'm not hearing the actual, like, Elton's actual voice. But you weren't going to have that in this movie.
They try some different. It was hit or miss.
Yeah.
And also good. Getting back to what you're saying. I mean, Elton's got, you know, hundreds of great songs. But I was disappointed that they didn't get into Candle in the Wind, which you wrote, you know, dedicated to Marilyn.
Yep.
And also, even though it was a later hit, Empty Garden, which he devoted to John Lennon.
Yep.
And because they showed the scene where he was trying to come up with a name for himself to rename himself, and he looked at and it was like Elton. He had the first name, and he looked at a picture of the Beatles, and he's like, John. He looked at John Lennon. He said, yeah, Elton John. So that would have been a good story to tell. But then again, that was in like the late 80s, which that was towards the end where he had his where he came out of rehab. And kind of like the I'm Still Standing at Too Low for Zero was like one of the last songs they had. So
yeah, what's funny is I'm looking it up because I looked at it's technically there. I don't know why Elton did that as in the movie as executive producer, because he didn't get his name, the John half of his name, from John Lennon. He got it from a British blues musician, Long John Baldry. And I'm
Elton. Yeah, so that was some poetic license for the movie, for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Just like, I'm in some Elton John groups, and you know, they were pissing on the movie because it wasn't accurate, but Elton signed off on it, because especially like that first concert at the Troubadour where he plays Rocketman, it was actually in 2 years before Rocketman was even written. So
yeah, same thing with Crocodile Rock, same thing. Yes,
so he took some poetic license, you know, to make it more entertaining. But hey, he's the executive producer, so you can't really, you know.
Well, yeah, well, he definitely took license in terms of the song order, because the scene where we were talking about, the scene where he's in...
He's auditioning. He plays like 80 songs. Like, I guess that's why they call,
they call it the blues.
Songs.
Yeah,
that's, yeah.
It was very strange. Now, he might have written those songs. And now, having said that...
I doubt that.
Yeah, I doubt it, too. I'm sure Bernie wrote those in, like, 1982, 83, because those songs came out in, like, 85. So that was a little interesting that Elton would kind of go, you know, I don't say off the rails, but kind of bounced around with that. The scenery, I mean, obviously I've said this before, I'm a big 70s junkie. I wouldn't be doing the Year in Pop with you, fine sir, and of course Mr. Atherton and the Doctor. I love the decade of the 70s. So anything involving, you know, parties and the Troubadour.
Oh my God. The LA scene when they first go to LA and they have that after party with the hippies and the girls, and of course Bernie gets some nice brown sugar right off the bat. And Bernie says,
huh?
We're never leaving. Bernie says, we're never going back.
I know.
That was a beautiful scene, and that inspired him to write a Tiny Dancer, you know, LA Lady, and that was picture perfect, that scene.
Yeah. That was arguably one of my favorite scenes in the movie, is when, just to set it up for you, if you haven't seen it. By the way, this isn't like, I'm just letting everybody know, this isn't an Avengers movie, so we're not doing any spoilers. It's a biopic. Everyone knows Elton's life, so I'm just
like, Elton lives at the end.
So just let you know.
To ruin it for anybody.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Spoiler, he's not dead. There's a scene after Elton's debut performance at the Troubadour, which, by the way, for those that don't know, the Troubadour is a legendary music club out in LA on the Strip, that has been the home of many, many an artist whose career started there. And Elton in 1970 had his first two U.S. performances ever at the Troubadour. So after the first show, they're invited to Mama Cass's house. Of course, Mama Cass and the Mamas and the Papas. You know, this big, it was like a cabin. It was kind of weird. I wasn't expecting like a cabin in the woods. I was expecting like some posh, you know, LA, you know, whore fest kind of place. And instead we get like a cabin in the woods, which I thought was kind of fascinating. I was wondering if Mama Cass was actually going to be in it, and she wasn't. I was kind of bummed. I was hoping we'd get a good performance by somebody to play Mama Cass, but, and
Kathy Bates is unavailable.
Kathy Bates. So Elton and Bernie are hanging out, and Bernie, as John said, meets this delicious chocolate sunshine named Heather, and he goes off and gets a little brown sugar. And Elton's kind of by himself, kind of bummed that, you know, my guy left me for a woman. On a side note, well, you know, let me finish the scene. And Elton feels kind of lonely, and he starts singing Tiny Dancer. And then eventually, about a few minutes later, he meets his manager / 70s lover, John Reed. Speaking of... I actually was happy that Elton did do something in the movie. Tell me what you think. It's obvious that we as Elton fans know that Elton and Bernie were never lovers. Bernie's straight, so we knew that already. But the scene where they're on the rooftop and Elton tries to kiss him.
Terrific.
Bernie says, you know, I love you, but not that way. Gene looks at me and goes, what the hell did they do that for? And I said, no, very simple. Because, you know, we also have to take into account that not everybody's us. We're not all in, you know, a lot of fans are mocks who aren't in the know. So they may not have realized that Bernie and Elton were not lovers and were never lovers. So they needed to do that scene to establish the fact that Bernie and Elton had a very special relationship that was not sexual, was not physical. Bernie was straight, but they had this familial kinship like brothers, because, you know, later in the movie, Bernie calls him his brother. What did you think of that? Did you think that was smart to put that in the movie to kind of stamp the fact that the two of them were not, that was not their kind of relationship?
Yes, that was terrific, because right off because Elton was kind of, he was kind of playing both sides of the fence and free will, and he thought like just everybody wanted him, and that scene was terrific because Bernie let him know, hey, I love you, but I'm on the other team, and I'm not on your team in that area, but I'm on your songwriting team. Right. That was terrific. And Elton said it was never brought up again, and their friendship, continued to flourish. So that was terrific. I love that scene.
I do too. I thought it was very important that the fan, the casual fan of Elton John who didn't really know his life, realized that Elton and Bernie were never lovers. Bernie is not gay, and they wanted to mark that in the movie so you can get that off your mind for the rest of the movie, that Bernie and Elton had a different kind of relationship. That was the relationship I was hoping we pay attention to most of the movie. I feel like we dealt with Bernie and the parents, which is probably the three most important people in Elton's life up to this point, until obviously he met his current husband, David Furnish, who also was a co-producer of this movie too. What did you think of the parents? What did you think of, I thought Bryce Dallas Howard was tremendous as his mom, but again, I was taken aback at how witchy, she wasn't even witchy. It's not like she didn't support him. She was ambivalent. Whereas his dad was like, I don't know what the hell this thing is, but I'm getting out of here. You know, like he was almost collateral damage between the two parents. And the fact that his mom blamed him for losing the husband, even though he was an asshole, was pretty telling, right?
Yes, and the another terrific scene, just heartbreaking, when he goes to visit his dad, and his dad has moved on, and he's got two young kids, and he's doting on two kids like he never doted on Elton. And and then Elton asked the dad to... the dad asked Elton to sign a record for him, and he puts to dad, and dad's like, oh no, I don't want it. It's for one of my guys at work. It's to Arthur. And then he crosses out dad and writes Arthur, and then he goes back into his limo and just cries his eyes out because he sees the father doting on the two kids, giving them the attention that he never got. That's I'm sure it's heavily exaggerated, but for movie purposes, that's a very touching and a great scene. And then he just and then he just grabs the bottle and starts going crazy and. Goes ham on the bottle, and he has a show to do, and his manager slash lover who is controlling and everything slaps him around and says you got to get out there and make that money. It's just you could just see the depression and what he was going through.
So, yeah,
very touching.
Yeah, it was absolutely that aspect of the movie was fantastic. Again, the scenery, the 70s. All the venues, being at the garden, I thought the visual, and you might need to help me on this because I don't know if this is on like a DVD or a Blu-ray, if it was transferred over from VHS or whatever, but I wonder if the Elton concert at Dodger Stadium is actually somewhere. The scene where, because that for those that don't know, for those that again may not know, that concert that really happened. Elton wore a bedazzled Dodgers uniform with Elton on the back. That concert happened. That's not fake. That concert at Dodgers. In fact, there were a few dates that I think it was in 76, I think, or 77, that he did those shows at Dodger Stadium. Those are legit. And when he gets blasted off into space, like, geez, the doctor's very basic, and we talked about this on the Year in Pop. The doctor's very like cut and dry when it comes to movies. He doesn't like dream sequences and abstract fantasy nonsense. That's not his cup of tea. And he's like, "What is it? Elton's blasting off?" And and when he tried to kill himself, he's talking to himself in the pool and all this other weird shit. I had no problem with it, but the visuals of the movie were tremendous. I have to say.
But I would kind of lean towards G because I just like the more simpler scenes like remember when he gets kicked out, he tells his girlfriend that hey, I'm on the other team, and so him and Bernie get kicked out of that, and he's got to go back to live with his mom and his grandma, and Bernie goes in for a shave, and Elton just sits down a piano and he bangs out Your Song and the way he sings, and everybody. And the mom, the grandma, everybody in the house just stops what they're doing and just listening. That's a brilliance. again, maybe, you know, poetic license, maybe it didn't have, but for whatever it was, the scene was just beautiful. And the music, very simple, just Elton and a piano singing. That's, you know, I love that 100 times better than the fantasy, Gaga. So I didn't think they needed that. I just like the simpler one like that. Very, very touching. And you can't go wrong with your song, you know, one of the greatest songs of ever. So, I like the simpler scenes like that.
Yeah, your song is arguably one of the greatest, just pretty much songs ever, period. All right, so here are my cons. Number one, I thought the one thing I did like about Bohemian Rhapsody that I was hoping Rocket Man did but didn't, I feel like the story, I'm curious your thoughts. I thought the story needed to be a little more linear, and I kind of was bouncing all over the place. Like G liked Bohemian Rhapsody because they time-stamped things, 75, 78, 80, 80. And here you were like, where the fuck are we? Like, I don't even know. I was trying to guess where in time we were. So I have to say the story was great, and fortunately I knew it. But if you don't know Elton or anything, I would have gotten a little confused because I felt like everything happened in like a 2-year stretch, and it didn't. It happened in like a 15, 16, 20-year stretch. So I thought that they needed to keep the story a little more linear and maybe mark time so we kind of knew where we were going. I mean, I guessed, again, just because I know Elton like you do, that I knew he went to rehab in the early 90s and all that, and I'm Still Standing came out in the early 80s, and he married Renata in 84, I think. Because I know that, but if you weren't watching, if you don't know anything about Elton, you don't know when the hell any of this stuff happened. Did that bother you or no?
No, because just like Eddie Trunk pre-warned, there was more of a musical fantasy. They really weren't sticking to, and Elton took a lot of liberty. So it was his vision, so some facts mixed in with a lot of, fantasy and made up stuff just to fit into the movie because technically, he doesn't really get totally clean. And like you said, to the 90s, but the last, song and performance we see is I'm Still Standing, which is the Too Low for Zero album, which is like 83, 84. So,
Something like that. Yeah. Yeah, and what's by the way, love the fact that they literally superimposed Edgerton into the video.
Yes,
like that
yes,
was
yes,
most
yes,
of that
yes,
for those yes. that don't. Most of that video
that
was the
part
legit
of it
video.
Is good. Yeah, see that part of the the fantasy mumbo jumbo. That part is like I said, it's hit or miss, but that was a hit.
Yeah. Number two, and I know you and I are probably going to disagree on this. I didn't like other, like you had mentioned the cast and. And that Rami Malek kind of stole the show at, but I was not a fan of everybody else singing. This is Elton's movie. I didn't need to hear Bernie sing. I didn't need to hear John Reed sing. I didn't need to hear the mom sing. I wanted to see Elton sing. So why are we sitting here? Why am I sitting here watching the rest of the cast sing? This movie isn't about them. It's about him. So I thought that was, if it was about if the movie was about a random rock star, like rock star with Mark Wahlberg or Almost Famous with Stillwater, whatever. That's one thing. But this is about arguably one of the greatest singer-songwriters, if not the greatest singer-songwriter, depending on your point of view, for those that hate Billy, dicks, of all time. The movie's about him, not about the rest of the cast. So I don't want to see John Reed sing. I don't want a dream sequence where the two of them are doing blow or the other scene where Elton's like dancing and, diving into a pool of men. Like that with them singing. Like I didn't need that. The movie's about him, not about everybody else. If he did all the singing, I'm perfectly fine with it. But I didn't need to see everybody else singing. The movie's not about them. What do you think?
I don't disagree too strongly on that. I emphasize I liked more of the other actors in the acting scenes. But yeah, they did muddy up the musical scenes. But I didn't mind the Goodbye Yellow Brick Road because that's kind of like him and Bernie kind of splitting up and. Mm-hmm. So to have Bernie sing a couple of the parts because they were his words, so like that I didn't have a problem with. But with the other one, no, I actually agree with you as far as the singing. Sure.
When I hear the Eddie Trunk piece, I had no problem with there being singing in it. Again, I love Elton. I love all of Elton's songs, most of Elton's songs. I have zero problem with listening to. I mean, again, the vision of half of most of the back in 2000. As a matter of fact, Johnny, it was the night that Benny Agbayani hit the home run in game three of the 2000 ALDS. Yeah,
I was at the game.
I was at Almost Famous. We were at the movies. Uh-huh. And that I remember two-thirds of the theater singing Dirt Tiny Dancer with everybody in the bus. So I had no problem with songs in the movie, but I wanted Elton's character to sing the songs, or Elton, not all the supporting characters. It's not about them. Obviously, the one thing in common between Bohemian Rhapsody and Rocket Man is both of the main characters, Freddie Mercury and Elton John, are both gay. That's fine, whatever. Not the point. Even though most of a good hunk of the story was about, you know, there. I think I will say that Freddie's was a little more subtle than Elton's. They did have kind of the scene in the early 80s when Elton got a little debaucherous, but he had that boyfriend, bodyguard guy who, you know, did the same thing that John Reed did to Elton, kind of, you know, used him and manipulated him. But we didn't have a lot of, you know, we didn't need, and I know Brian May said this in articles, you know, we didn't need a lot of gratuitous sex scenes and over the top, you know, nonsense, you know, stuff. Freddie apparently wasn't like that. Elton obviously is very flamboyant. The homosexuality part has nothing to do with that. I'm just saying that he's very flamboyant. And I read that it actually says it on the wiki page. It says it is the first major Hollywood production to show a gay male sex scene on screen. Let me preface something here. I was expecting, I mean, obviously everybody, you know, when you think of gratuitous gay sex scene in a major movie, you think of Brokeback Mountain and the two, you know, and Heath Ledger and Jake Gyllenhaal and the shadows of the tent and all that nonsense, all that stuff. Now, I was surprised that it was not as gratuitous as the description of it was. Not that it would have mattered, but I was wondering what the whole context of the scene was, and it turned out it was John and Elton doing it for the first time, and honestly, they were making out a lot, rolling around on the bed. They took their, you know, they were fumbling with their belts to take their pants off or whatever. And then right around when, like, they were getting on top and ready to do something, they kind of panned off, showed the window, and then they were done. So I'm just preparing everyone, if you want to make this a spoiler, I don't know if it is or not, it's not as gratuitous as the description of it may be. I just wanted to make that point clear. Other than that, I thought that because obviously as rock stars, both Freddie and Elton, they kept their homosexuality moderately closeted. We didn't really know Elton was, we didn't know Bernie, we didn't know, I keep wanting to say Bernie. We didn't know Freddie was gay till 2 days before he died in 1991. And then 2 days later, he died of AIDS. Elton, I don't think totally came out till, well, probably after Renata and him divorced. So probably late 80s, early 90s. Did we really know that Elton was gay? How do I word the question? I didn't think that that aspect of Freddie's life dominated Bohemian Rhapsody. Do you think that aspect of Elton's life dominated this movie?
Yes, because from the very beginning, you know, from when he was struggling with his sexuality, as far as his first gig when he's playing with that R&B. Band and the lead singer gives him the eye and mm-hmm. the kiss, and then he has his first kiss, and so it was definitely more prevalent than Bull Rap. And I hate to say this, hopefully nobody gets offended, but I think that's why it's going to fall short of Bohemian Rhapsody's box office. That's going to be one of the big reasons, because Elton's fans are a little older. And even though they know, you know, what time it is with them, still, so seeing some of those scenes, like I saw it on opening day Friday at the where the cheap fuck the $5 for $5 cheap fuck matinee before 6 o'clock at the local theater, and there are a lot of Judy Martin aged individuals there, and the scene where. You know, Elton's on a binge, and he goes outside, and
his
manager Reed is getting a pool boy Hummer. one of the old Judy Martin ladies, she like gasped like it was like at a horror movie, like it was like Michael Myers. But she went oh, you know, she was like horrified. So I'm like, come on. I mean, I've seen if I'm a big fan of Oz, and I've seen every episode of Oz three times, I'm immune to that. Yeah, I'm immune to that. That's not. But for unfortunately for older fans, it's going to be a little. It's gonna be a shock. It's gonna be a schmock to the system, or a shock to the system.
That's the wrong way to kneel. No, I'm only kidding.
And even though as progressive as we are in 2019, I still think it's gonna keep people from enjoying it as much as they should.
Yeah. I mean, it was definitely a little more. It was a little more prevalent in Elton's story than in Freddy's. The difference between the two movies in that aspect is Elton was just himself. Like, he had a band, but it was him. His band's a backup. Queen is a band. So even though the story was dominantly about Freddie, we had Brian May, John Deacon, and Roger Taylor. They were part of the story. So it wasn't totally dominating the storyline in Bohemian Rhapsody because not all four guys were gay. So it was really only about Freddie. Whereas Elton, it's Elton and that's it. So... But for the most part, it was not as I think it was 50-50. But yeah, the scene where all of a sudden the fucking, you know, the assistant gets up and is wiping his lips. I'm like, whoa. But I wasn't like aghast by that. I mean, we've all seen it. You know, I was like, oh, well, OK, that was very, you know, the guy's head moving up is one thing, but like fixing his lips. I'm like, well, oh, hello. OK, like, all right. We need to be that specific with the details.
Yeah, but, they earned the R rating.
Yeah, they definitely did. No, they definitely did. But again, it's not I'm not saying ruin the movie. Of course it didn't. But I mean, again, Elton was a lot more. Even in now, the difference is obviously Freddie was closeted literally till the day he died, whereas Elton obviously has been openly gay and is married to a man, and that's great. That's no issues there. But his life continues, so it's part of his life. Whereas with Freddie, he pretty much said to everybody, "I'm gay, I have AIDS," and then 36 hours later, he's dead. So there wasn't a chance for people to be accepting and et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, it didn't. I don't think it hurt the movie. And I think the whole, you know, oh my God, this, you know, the first ever Hollywood big budget gay scene. And it really wasn't that big a deal. So for anybody who's thinking who like John said, and there are people out there like this who are going to stay home because I don't want to see that. That's a moronic way to not go see a very good movie. Number one, because it's just stupid. And number two, it's not as gratuitous as a lot of publications are describing it as. So. Just go to the movie and enjoy it. Don't worry about anything. I also think that I would like to have seen kind of modern day, because I feel like just like Bohemian Rhapsody, although the difference there was Freddie, obviously his life was cut off at the end due to illness. I think it would have nice to have seen the movie continue. Like, we've read articles, John, where Brian May has said they didn't want to go into, like, a lot of people were like, we wanted to see Freddie's death. We wanted to see him want to see him struggle with the virus. And people are like, no, why can't the movie end on a high note? Live Aid, which is arguably one of the greatest live rock performances ever. Why do we need to see Freddie, like, shrivel away to nothing? He didn't want to see himself shrivel away to nothing. Why would we want to?
It's funny you bring that up, because that would, the original script, which I know you don't like him, but that's why Baron Cohen bailed out, because the originally they had Freddie dying in the middle of the movie, and the second half was like Queen moving on without him and doing performances without him, and but that got nixed to make it, you know, more of a Freddie movie than a Queen movie,
right?
Because the also they had problems with the director, but also they recognized that the other members of Queen weren't quite as charismatic, or, you know,
right,
or people cared about them as much. You know, hey, Roger May, God bless, he's one of the greatest axemen of all time, but a little low on the charisma scale, when you got Freddie in the band. But that was the original plan, and that's why Baron Cohen bailed out, and eventually they changed things up.
Right, I would have liked to have seen him meet David Furnish, who of course is his husband now. I would have liked to have seen that. I mean, kind of a moderately happy ending where this, you know, Elton, who felt like no one loved, like it said it at the end of the movie, he finally got loved by someone, and it was his current husband, David Furnish. And
yeah, but even that was a FU to his mother, because remember when he gets on the phone, he comes out to his mother, and she says, "Nobody will ever love you the right way." Yeah, and that was one last. He gave one last FU because he's been happily married and he's loved properly.
Yeah, you know, he's got two kids. Yeah, so I would have liked to have seen that added to the movie, you know, instead of him just kind of being the...
Maybe the partner didn't want to be involved like that, and he ex-nayed it or something. That's what I said right off the top, that even though Elton lives and Freddie dies, this is more like depressing and more grave and serious than Bohemian Rhapsody. It's less uplifting.
I agree with you on that 100%. Yes, I agree with you on that. So that was a couple of my flaws. The faults of it. I really wish, you know, again, we don't know the reasoning. I'm just going to say, yeah, I think that it would have been nice to have the scene where, you know, the story continues and he does meet his, you know, his soulmate, his current husband. And it sees that the movie shows that Elton does find happiness and love that he couldn't find in his life. Elton, Freddie had that love in Mary Austin. He just liked, you know, the physical part of it with guys, but he loved Mary Austin.
But also, that was my favorite part of the Bohemian Rhapsody, where the he found the, you know, one of his ex, one of, I won't say ex, whatever, the lover, you know, the guy that you know, Freddie's having one of those wild parties, and the guy was like, you know, one of the servants or whatever, and Freddie just, you know, grabs his schwanz, and the guy says, "Hey, I don't play like that. You know, I am on the team, but I'm not a friggin' one of your whores like that." So, and then that's the guy that turns out to be his life partner. Remember, he goes out to find him, and he sees him, and he has tea, and then he introduces him to his parents, and that was my favorite part of Bohemian Rhapsody. That little you know, romance or whatever you want to call it, with his, that was well done.
No, I agree. And that's why I wish that they had done that here, because I feel like you're right. Elton, it just ended depressingly, where it would have been nice to see the movie with him meeting his husband and realizing, yes, Ma, I did find someone who actually really loves me. And just because it's not a woman doesn't mean that I can't have it. You know, I thought it would have been a good message. I would have had no problem with that. Again, soundtrack wise, you know, both movies are, you know, both bands are fucking great, so there's no issue with that. Here's my thing, though. I think the Bohemian Rhapsody soundtrack has the actual Queen songs. I don't know if this soundtrack has these actors singing.
Yeah, Taron. It's pretty much all Taron singing.
So that's pretty interesting. So, all right. So why don't we'll lay it out on the line here. I there were a lot of aspects of the movie I liked a lot. Again, I thought the acting was very good. I thought that Taron Egerton was tremendous as Elton. I loved Jamie Bell as Bernie Taupin. Richard Madden played a good scumbag, John Reed. And I loved Bryce Dallas Howard as Elton's mom. The music was great. The dream sequences I probably could have done without. I wish the story had been a little more linear, and I would have liked to have seen a happier ending for Elton because he's still alive. It would have been nice to see, hey, look, I did do pretty good. I found a wonderful man, and I'm living a good life, and I have kids and that kind of, I mean, I know they showed it at the end, but it would have been nice to have maybe seen that in the movie part. But it told a good story, if you could follow it. I thought it was a little herky jerky. That's one thing I did like about Bohemian Rhapsody. It was very linear. Good soundtracks, good acting. Yes, everybody was very on par in this. John, you are right about that. Rami Malek pretty much ate up the other movie. But, you know. So what are your final thoughts? Would you see it again?
Oh, yes. Yes, okay. Definitely. Just pretty much what I opened up with, to reiterate, the Bohemian Rhapsody, the music, I would give the Bo Rap the edge, for the acting and even the Herky Jerky story and everything, the characters, I was more involved with the Rocket Man. So I would give it a slight edge. I go by like that 4-star method. I would give Rocket Man like 3.25 and Bull Rap a solid 3. So
okay,
not too much difference, man. Yeah.
No, if we did it, if we did it by the ratings, I would give Bo Rap 3.75, and I would give I'd probably give Rocket Man like 3.25. I'm looking forward to. I was not crazy about yesterday when I first saw the trailer. Watching it again tonight, I might change my mind. I love the Beatles, so I have no problem with that.
And also the director, I don't know if you've seen it, Danny Boyle did a Slumdog Millionaire.
I saw Slumdog Millionaire and I liked it. So
yes, so. That's got me all in too. I'm definitely gonna check it out.
Yeah, and then of course the other movie, as he said, Blinded by the Light. I'm not the biggest Bruce fan on the planet, so I'm 50-50 whether I'll see that or not. Not a total Bruce fan. I like some of his stuff, but I'm not a huge Bruce fan. Mm-hmm. But I think we are seeing a pattern, John, of music movies. Maybe not necessarily all biopics. Like, I've seen some tremendous and if you want to see other great biopics, if you have, whether it's HBO Go or Netflix or Showtime Anytime, there are a ton of tremendous documentaries, music documentaries on all of these. I think people love seeing musicians' lives. Believe it or not, and this is me who's not the biggest, you know, R&B or blues fan. I do love the music. But there was a tremendous documentary on Showtime about Teddy Pendergrass that was very, very good.
Yes, I saw that, sure.
Yep, there was a great one on Skynyrd. As a matter of fact, Showtime coming, I think it's streaming now, John. There's a documentary about Wu-Tang Clan.
Yes, no, I quote it, sure. It's 4 parts, yes.
So I think music is becoming a big thing right now. What do you think?
It was behind the music. Was it about 15, 20 years old? Those were tremendous. Yep. So these are just the 2-hour versions of behind the music, which was popular back in the day. So.
Yep, I have a bunch of them on tape still.
Yeah, we can't get enough of them because it's a good mixture. You know, you learn some stuff about how they came up and the struggles, and plus mixed in with the music and the performances. Because right now there's a certain genre of people that still want to go into the theaters and aren't all big on Avengers, Star Wars, etc. So, but definitely we like those people too. We don't want to crap on our brand. Our boys do a good job reviewing and following all the comic books movies. So we definitely we still support those guys. Please.
Oh, absolutely. No, Greg and the Hard Traveling Fanboys, Greg and Nick, Russell Sellers, Ben Morris, Jenny, who could I turn to? All of them. They do a wonderful job with all the comic. But I think there is something to be said now with the Marvel Cinematic Universe done, with Avengers Endgame out, and now kind of Marvel rebooting, and we're not sure what's to come of it. I think Hollywood is leaning more towards doing more of these music movies because I think it'll attract a lot of people, and Bohemian Rhapsody was the first to do that. I think Rocket Man is in that class. We'll see about these next two movies, Yesterday and Blinded by the Light. Maybe you and I'll do those as well.
As far as biopics, who would you like to see in the future? Don't say Billy. Don't be biased.
No, no, I know I'm not.
We discussed it. Prince. We would love to see.
Prince would be a tremendous one. I would love a Prince one.
Jimi Hendrix.
I mean, a Billy Joel would be nice. Hendrix would be good. I love Electric Ladyland. That would be a nice title. Would be another good one. There has been a Janis Joplin one. It didn't get a lot of pub, but there was a Janis Joplin one. I don't know if it was a documentary or if somebody played her. I don't remember now. Let's see. There was a Bob Weir documentary that was pretty good. I think
Bette Midler was in the Joplin one.
But... Yeah. What about did they do – well, I know they did – well, they did Hypnotize – which was one about Biggie, about JR's boy. That was okay.
It was okay.
Yeah, it was pretty good. What would be a good one? What about a John Lennon one? You know, not necessarily a Beatles biopic, because that movie would be like 9 hours long, but maybe a Lennon, maybe one about John and Paul. And then it maybe, and you know, because remember, there was a lot of strife there through most of the 70s. They were just starting to get back you know, to being friends again. And then, of course, John was murdered. I actually walked by in October. It was kind of cool, Johnny. And for those that ever visit New York, if you're not from this area, go to Central Park, go to Strawberry Fields, which is the little area that has Imagine on the ground and a bunch of, you know, people playing music and lying on top of it and all this, you know, that kind of stuff. But I actually went to the Dakota Building, John, which I know a lot of people may not do. I went to the Dakota Building, which is the apartment building John and Yoko lived in at the time. And I actually walked, I actually stood in front of the gate. So I stood in the spot where John Lennon was shot by Mark David Chapman, who will be in the pokey for the rest of his life, right? Did he get released? No, he didn't get released, right? He's still in the...
He was up for parole, I think, a couple times. He got shot down.
Yeah, literally.
Oh, gosh.
He deserved that. But I think a John and Paul one would be pretty cool. I mean, I know they did, like, what was that one they did? Backbeat, right? Wasn't that? But that was about Pete Best and the Misfit guys. A John and Paul one would be kind of cool. I know they did one on Sid and Nancy, Sid Vicious of the Sex Pistols, and his girlfriend Nancy, a couple of raging heroin addicts, but, you know, legends of the business.
I got to watch the Walk the Line, the Johnny Cash one again.
Oh, that's very good with Joaquin Phoenix. That is pretty good. Yeah.
Got to revisit that.
They need to do a new Doors because I've heard that Oliver Stone, like, hacked the crap out of that movie. Ray Manzarek said in many interviews that Jim Morrison never saw the scene where they're in the studio and he sees the Ford ad with Light My Fire and he throws a TV across the fucking studio. Ray Manzarek said on many occasions that never happened. Yeah. So I don't know. I know Oliver Stone likes to be a little liberal, no pun intended, and fancy free with his storytelling, but that would have been a cool a Doors one. I think a Hendrix one would be awesome. I think that would be a good one next. I know a lot of people are like, well, why you got to keep doing people that are dead? Well, we did Elton, because they're the ones that fascinate us because we don't know their true story. You know what I mean?
Especially the ones we lost early.
Yep. All the 27s, Jimmy, Janice, and Jim, all dead at 27. I guarantee you at some point, this is my personal opinion, at some point we're going to get a biopic on Kurt Cobain. You know, it's going to happen at some point. There's going to be they'll call it Nevermind or In Utero or some nonsense or some, you know, something like that. But I do think at some point in the next, I'll say like 5 years, we're going to get a Kurt Cobain biopic. I do think so. In any event, thank you for listening, everyone, for this edition of Pop Goes to the Movies as we reviewed Rocket Man. Join Johnny and I, along with Andy Atherton and the Doctor, Dr. G. George Abelino, here on the Pop Feed with the Urine Pop. I don't want to date the show, but as of recording, the next episode we do in a few weeks will be the centennial year, the bicentennial year of 1976. So that should be a lot of fun. Of course, also here on the Pop Feed, you could check out John and our good friend, the Cowboy Roger Morissette, on This Week in Sports. And I'm here on the Pop Feed here and there as well, doing either Freak Out Driving with Jennifer Smith or the Laugh in Theater with Andy. If you're a wrestling fan, I'm all over that feed. Go to the wrestling feed. I'm on the Place to Be podcast with my PIC, Mr. Justin Rosero. And, of course, the main event as well with myself, Nate Milton, and Steve Willey. John joins me on both shows consistently. Always a pleasure.
Yes, sir.
So, Johnny, always a pleasure. You and I will meet again. I think maybe we'll do Yesterday whenever that comes out. Maybe we'll book that now. You and I will do the Yesterday Pop Goes to the Movies review.
Yes, sir.
So, Johnny, always a pleasure. For John Arsenio D'Amato, I am Scott Criscolo. This has been Pop Goes to the Movies. Enjoy the theater.
Scott Hercules Criscolo.
Woohoo! Those flaps.
Blue jean baby, L.A. lady, seamstress for the band. Pretty eye, pirate smile. Merry music man, ballerina, you must have seen her dancing in the sand. she's in me, always with me, tiny dancer in my hand. Jesus freaks out in the street, handing tickets out for